B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, it is the DraftKings Over Under Show. I'm Joe Murray, joined by Dan Lifshatz. We're here until 9 o'clock today. The phone number is 617-779-0985. We talk about every game, anything that's on the table, anything that you want to discuss that's going on in the betting world. Of course, college football today, plenty of games canceled. There was one makeup that we'll get to in a little bit as well. NFL Sunday, the lines are all over the place. Some pretty interesting games this week as well. The Masters, I know people are putting money on that, which is, was it teed off already this morning?
I'm not sure yet. I think they already have.
So I see Tiger Woods right now on the screen. Who had a good first day. I didn't really see how he did yesterday. There's UFC. There's boxing tonight. There's all sorts of stuff out there. And I'm sure there's some soccer bets that some kid calls in every week and talks about as well. So all that on the table today. I just wanted to mention just the weekend gambling that it was. The Thursday night NFL game. The Colts won. I think a lot of, you know, it's funny, whenever the Colts have been favored, they're like a competitive team. So, for example, last week, I think it kind of went back and forth with the Ravens. I think the Ravens were favorites before kickoff, if I recall. But this week, they were favorites before the game. A lot of the money was on Tennessee. And I told you this, Dan, whenever you see the panel before a game, like when they ask all the bigwigs, oh, who do you like tonight? And everybody likes Tennessee. Go the other way.
It happened with Tampa last week.
Yep.
Guess what? It's going to happen on Sunday with New England, too.
It probably will. Everybody will take it. Who knows?
Right
now it's hard for me to put my money on the Patriots.
Agreed.
But hey, seven and a half for a team at home that hasn't been, you know, this much of a dog in, that's a lot of years.
20 years.
That's a lot of years. So that's something that's hard to fade. So that happened on Thursday night. It did go over the total. As well, a couple of football games on Thursday night. Boise State had a huge COVID issue before the game. 13 players. They ended up putting the whooping on Steve Adazio's team.
What we're seeing with the COVID stuff is when there's a mass outbreak right before a game and the line is bet down, we're starting to see there's some legitimate value on the team that loses some steam and even a little bit on, you know, on the totals because – The you know, it's just not being affected. I mean, Boise State, I mean, the second half, they lost the second half outright. They probably should have won that game by 40.
Yeah, there was a game earlier this year where there was a COVID outbreak on a team they played, and they faded it, and it worked. I'm trying to think of what it was, but...
I mean, Navy was bad.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah, Navy.
Well,
that's right.
ECU lost their quarterback.
ECU was down to nothing.
Yeah, I mean, they were down their quarterback. They were if you lose their quarterback, I think that's
totally, right, because totally we were different. Talking about the game early on, then we heard about the COVID outbreak, and it was like, dude, you got to take Navy, and they pulled away second half, and they had a freshman quarterback that day, too.
ECU did.
Yeah, and he played last night,
Aller's got replaced.
Yeah,
I didn't watch the second half of the game.
So, speaking of that, so that was Thursday. Was there another game on Thursday night?
No. That was in Friday. Last night.
So last night, Dan. There were three games. The FIU, FAU, I didn't care about, but the whole world was on the under. I think you were on the under last night. Everybody. Like, it was like one of these things where I'm just like, okay, this is going to be a low-scoring game or whatnot. Like, it went over the total.
7-0 in the first quarter, and then 20 points in 2.5 minutes.
Yep. So, you know, it's weird. It's just weird. Sometimes at this point you are fading or following. It's like one of those things right now.
You should fade me.
I took Minnesota last night, and here's why. I thought that there'd be something to the Friday night home dog. No, Joe. No, there's no fans. Why? And here, not for nothing, right? When you look at the score, it's going to be 35-7, and you're going to be like, wow, Iowa destroyed them. It's a 14-0 game at halftime. 14-0. When they're down 14-0, they get an interception going into the red zone, and then they get a 15-yard penalty, and they have to punt. It's like the whole night, I'm like, all right, it's going to be close. All right, cool. Yeah, they're hanging around, you know, whatever. opening kickoff of the second half, Minnesota goes on a 10-play drive, a 10-minute drive. And then instead of going for it like they did the whole game, they went for a field goal that they missed. And then start of the fourth quarter, Iowa scores a touchdown, then scores another touchdown, goes for two. And it was just like, all right. So, finally, there's the Cincinnati game. Cincinnati's ranked 7 in the country. And they're 28-point favorites. And they're struggling to get the ball off. They score a touchdown, 7-0. They want to get Ridder out of the game. So they take Ridder out. They bring in their backup. And they're like, it's like they're on like their own 35-yard line. And on 4th and 3, they did a fake punt up 30 points. And here's where I'm going with this, Dan. They end up scoring on the drive. The second half line was 9.5. So they're up 14. The freshman quarterback from ECU comes in, brings them all the way down. And the ECU coach, with 17 seconds left on the clock running, decides to run the ball, and they score a touchdown. And I'm saying to myself, that's karma. That's karma for going for it for a fake punt. Boom! Next play. You think Cincinnati would just take a knee, right? You know what happens?
They run the ball.
90-yard touchdown run for the cover. I'm going to say this right now. Cincinnati's a damn good football team. They have a quarterback that could potentially play in the NFL.
Oh.
They have a good defense. That's karma.
They have a good defense. Ritter.
No, he was good last night.
I know.
Really good.
Do you really think? I don't know.
He's moving up the ranks.
That's a discussion.
All I'm trying to tell you is, gamblers, karma. That's going to come back to them. That, Dan, I don't know if it's UCF next week. I don't know if it's the championship game. I don't know if it's a bowl game. Karma. You take a knee there. Oh. And now listen, the gamblers love it, right? It goes over the total. You know, it hits the second half. Everyone's happy.
The second half total was 24.
Went over.
I mean, that's as gross as you can lose. If you had, ECU second half, or you had Cincinnati, you had the under in the second half, it's the grossest loss you can have.
So I'm bringing this up because there's been action this week. We saw the fake spike, the onside kick. I'll be honest, myself, me, I usually rake college football season.
Me too.
This is where, like, you know, on Saturday I get fat and happy, and on Sunday I nitpick. Like, hey, you know what? Why not just throw money on this team money line and see what happens? All right, let's try a little 3-team parlay to end the weekend. You know what I mean? Like, because you're so fat and happy from everything during the week. Now Sundays are, how do I bail myself out? Right? I mean, that's literally what it's become. College football this year, I'm telling you, it's a different game. I heard Lincoln Kennedy on the way in today. He actually put it well, and I don't. Only one of the fellas was in today, so I.
Yeah, one of the good fella. What's that? The good fella.
The fella that I like.
The fella that is not unbearable to listen to.
But he mentioned it, and because he's out on the West Coast, and how many games got canceled last night or this week out the West Coast? But he mentioned it. The games are sloppy this year. The play is not as good. You have guys playing who shouldn't be playing because they need to fill numbers. And we're feeling it when it comes to betting lines, totals. I just, you know, I would be careful during the week, I guess is what I'm saying. The Saturday games, some, like last week was a bloodbath early in the morning. We talked about these noon games. People love to start early, right? These, like, Miami's going to be a highly bet game today. We talked about this on the podcast. All I'm trying to tell you is, with the Mac, you're literally, you're playing like, you know, blackjack. You don't know what's going to happen because it's Maction. You just don't know. That conference in general is fun. Like, I know there's some boring games out there, but then there's the, holy crap, what just happened?
Then there's the Toledo-Western Michigan type game.
There you go. And it happens once a week, right? Ball State the week before. It's just every week there's a, oh, man, what happens here? All I'm trying to say is this is a different year. Any capping, any model you add, any of this, it's different. It's different. So I mentioned this on our podcast this week. I think staying consistent is the way to go.
And I think at 12 o'clock today, it's either going to be horrendous for the books or it's going to be fantastic. Because, I mean, really, you know people are going to be on. They're going to be on Miami. They're going to be on Indiana. They're going to be on Penn State. They're going to be on North Carolina. I mean, and probably West Virginia as well.
And I just
that's going to be the 12 o'clock slate.
And to your point, people don't realize that Nebraska's owned that series against PSU. I think Indiana hasn't won a game in Michigan State in, I don't know what it was, eight tries or something like that.
Yep.
I forget what it was. And we'll look up the numbers to be exact. Miami pulls out a win last week. And who do they have on deck? I figured who it was on deck. But they need that game, Miami. They need today's game.
They're home versus Georgia Tech.
Okay. So they're back-to-back road games, though.
Yes.
This
is the second of the back-to-back.
Which generally is a difficult spot.
For Power 5 teams who do not travel a lot, back-to-back road games is almost the kiss of death. You almost always lose one of the two. Almost always.
And then if you want to continue to go on, I think the Big Ten this year is the worst conference. I think it's unbettable at this point.
I think the ACC is far worse.
Oh, maybe talent-wise. Yeah. No, I'm talking about betting-wise. Like, you want to go Rutgers-Illinois on me today? You want to do that today?
No. No.
You want to put action on that game?
No. Honestly, this is crazy because I think in the 3 years that we've been doing this, we've done very well on Saturdays. Okay, that's not the toot our own horn. We've done very well. This year, I can say openly and honestly, I've sucked. And it hasn't even been close. NFL Sundays have been better, which is not something that we can usually say.
Because you're bailing your ass out.
And it's not just us.
That's what I mean. It's just when you get into the Sunday, it's like you got to have a winning Sunday or you're having a bad week. It's very difficult to gamble this year. And you know, I'm just saying this to be careful, right? Like we're a week away from Thanksgiving, right? We got all next week. You're going to want to gamble on Thanksgiving. Hold on to your bankroll. Just if you need to bet Illinois Rutgers today at 1 o'clock because your early noon game isn't looking good, like I don't advise it. I don't advise it. Louisville UVA, you really want to back BC today? Do you really want to back BC today?
Because
there's a lot of money coming on BC.
I might have at 13.5,
not at 11, right? There you go.
I would have backed him at 14 probably.
Like, do people realize Hawaii is not Hawaii anymore? Like, is Purdue Northwestern? Like, again, another bet. Dude, I'm telling you, the Big Ten, Florida, off a big win, are 17-point favorites against Arkansas, who's 6-0 against the spread this year. Now, we talked about a lot of these games, Dan, but the more I look at, how about Wisconsin, who hasn't played in 3 weeks, versus a Michigan team? And you don't know who's that quarterback for Wisconsin because they've had a COVID outbreak.
I mean it sounds like it's going to be Mertz, but you know what's going to happen. Everyone's going to be on Wisconsin. He's going to have a bad game and, you know, bang.
Yeah. Oregon, who crushed last week, plays a quarterback that was pretty good last week in Washington State that people don't know about yet. There's interesting games out there today, and I tell you all to be careful. I do want to mention, though, how about Cal and UCLA? How about Chip Kelly? How about that? Hey, we can't play this week. You guys don't have a game. We don't have a game. How about we have a dinner? Right? How about, I know your coach, you know our team, we're down the street. Like, let's play. And they're going to have a Sunday at noon college football game, Dan.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be real weird. I mean, will you put it on for the pregame for the NFL?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. The London game. Did we bet on it? Yes. Did you like the London game? I don't know if Tucker did because it gets in the way of his show, his fantasy football show that's on from 8 to 10 on every Sunday morning.
We actually don't mind it.
Yeah, so you like it because you get something on, right?
On air, yeah.
And on air, you're like, oh, they won 6 points for the Jags.
The London game sucks because it's never a fun matchup. It's the Jaguars. Almost like every week, you know it's like the Jaguars, right?
Yeah. Anyways, a lot of NFL stuff. I know we kind of got into the college there. I just want to take one call. Andrew's in Austin. Hello, Andrew. You're on the Sports Hub.
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you, Joe, for the shout-out about the soccer kid. I appreciate it. Unfortunately, there is an international break today, so I do not have a soccer pick for you.
Good.
I was wondering your thought. Yeah, I'm sure you're pumped about that. I was wondering about your the USC Arizona game. So I always think USC is super overrated. Arizona's quarterback is pretty decent. And then I'm a homer. I went to University of Arizona, so I'm probably going to take the points. But I was wondering your guys' opinion on that line.
Yeah, we discussed it a little bit on our podcast, man. You know, I thought Slovis at the end of the game was clutch. Did USC, who had more talent or whatever, they didn't play well. And I think it was more about Arizona State being a little bit better than everyone thought. And USC not playing up to it. This game today is at 3:30, Dan. I think a lot of people will be on it. Just to give you a few trends here, the under has been big in this meeting, 5-1. The last six meetings when they play in Arizona, it's even better. The favorites 4-0 in the last four meetings.
Yeah, and I assume that we're going to get Graham Gunnell as the quarterback for Arizona. I don't know if he's officially been named the starter. Like, I don't know if they actually officially named the starter. But I mean, he played last year in relief of Khalil Tate, who struggled last year. Ooh, there we go.
I don't know what the hell.
But yeah, I mean, Khalil Tate struggled last year, which a lot of people thought he might be a Heisman candidate, which was, you know, kind of... It was just a bad year for him. He played himself out of NFL consideration, and Gunnell was okay, and he performed, you know, down the line he was pretty good. So I mean, Gunnell has to play very well for Arizona to kind of be, you know, any sort of something this year. They're not expected to be very good. Expected to be one of the worst teams in the Pac-12. I think this is going to be a game where, you know, people are going to want to bet USC again because of their comeback victory against Arizona State last week. I think it's going to be a little different. It's not at home. It's a 12 o'clock game instead of a 9 a.m. game. But USC, you know, with Slovis on the road, at least having a game, you know, under the belt is going to help. I think this is a game, again, I know I'm personally going to stay away from because I kind of would like to learn about, you know, Arizona and USC a little bit more before I kind of jump in on them. But I think 14.5 is always a lot to lay with USC. Again, I agree with you, Andrew. They're usually overrated.
Kevin Sumlin, right? That's usually what it comes down to for me. I just can't back that coach. I think he's terrible. The biggest problem with USC is their offensive line. Their run defense isn't good either. I think that's what Arizona is going to start out with, going with the run. You mentioned the quarterback there. Again, I'm probably that recency bias better that thinks USC bounces back against a team like Arizona that the program is trying to turn itself around. They just lost, to put Dan's point, they just lost Khalil Tate, who was a Heisman candidate 2 years in a row. J.J. Taylor was their big back a year ago. Like, they are replacing everybody.
Yeah, to be fair, Khalil Tate sucked last year.
And J.J. Taylor... He was, you know, the year before that was one of the best running backs in the country.
Yeah.
And they, like, I don't know what happened. They just stopped using him.
Him and Tate were a dynamic duo a couple years ago. And I think Taylor, obviously, we saw when his usage went down, Tate struggled, which makes sense.
Yeah. I just think USC advantage of quarterback, receivers, and depth. And USC won this game 41-14 last year. So just keep that in mind. I think Arizona's down. Is what I think. 617-779-0985. See you guys on the phone lines. We'll get to you coming up next. And again, the phone number is 617-779-0985. And I'll find out why this mic is making weird noises. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Dan Lifschitz is here. I'm Joe Murray. So today we already talked about the college slate because I know everyone's already chomping at the bit. I've already gotten five questions today about who do you like here, whatever. The NFL games tomorrow of interest. Let's see here. Philly Giants, no. Washington Detroit, no. Green Bay, Jacksonville, no. Houston, Cleveland, no. Tampa Bay, Carolina, Denver, Las Vegas.
The four slate is so much better than the one slate this week. It's not even close. I do think there's a few interesting matchups in there.
All right, Buffalo, Arizona seems interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a sharp for a square spot, right? this is going to be, you're going to have a large amount of the public coming, you know, Bills coming off that, you know, butt whooping of Seattle. They're going to get the backing. Arizona losing to Miami and Tua last week. By the way, how you doing? 2-0. 2-0 with Tua.
Yeah, we got to make that a bit at some point.
Yeah.
What's 2-0?
Yeah, Tuck, you missed it last week. I lost my damn mind about the Miami Dolphins already calling to replace Tua.
They said that?
They said that they...
They said they might consider taking another quarterback in the draft next year because if they don't know about Tua.
Woke his ass up.
But again, I think they said that because they're holding the Texans pick, and that's why I think they said it, but you know, whatever. Dan thought it was stupid.
I think it's incredibly stupid that we take a top five, a player at a top five position.
So then we decided like maybe we should do a segment called What's Tooing?
Yeah. So just I'm now, if the Patriots suck this year, screw the Bucs. I'm in on the Miami Dolphins because I want Tua to shove it up that organization's you know what. I want him to. So that's how I feel about that talk. So that's
hey, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Who do you like better, Cliff Kingsbury or Sean McDermott?
McDermott. I talked a lot of crap about him before the season, and I would do it again before the season in the same situation. But his team's really responded well. I mean, you know, Josh, the progression of Josh Allen, I think you have to give him some, you know, a certain amount of credit for that. I think that
they have holes all over the defense.
They're
playing rookies.
I've heard so many people praise Sean McDermott.
In a year, unlike any other.
Oh, you saved that one, huh, Tucker?
Good job. Good job, Tuck. Yeah. Yeah. Nope. There you go. We
should do a holiday edition of Swinging Mistakes. You know what I mean? Just
me for 25 minutes.
Swinging Mistakes.
Sean McDermott, you suck. There you go. Yeah, no, Sean McDermott's been super impressive. That being said, I think this is a spot to take Arizona this week.
Yeah.
I do. I think that this is a nice bounce back spot. I think the, you know, they should probably be 3.5-point favorite. The look at in this spot was 4. It's now 2.5. I think you're going to get a little bit of value with Arizona. I know the Bills have been very good on the road, but I do think that, you know, again, a few weeks ago, we saw the Bills, you know, in the midst of a pretty poor play streak. The Patriots might have woken them up, and then, you know, they played very well versus Seattle, but again, they weren't really good against New England. So, yeah, Tuck, I talked about this one on the podcast. If you wouldn't mind potting me up here, we'll give an early PP. I'm going Arizona. I'm going Arizona minus 2.5 PP.
So PP stands for podcast play. We did a podcast and then they gave us a show, so we, you know, didn't come up with another name. But if there's a sponsor out there that, you know, wants to get behind the hey Dan's pick of the week, one of Dan's picks of the week was what was it again?
Arizona minus 2.5.
Arizona minus 2.5. A couple of things here. Buda Baker sounds like he will play. That guy's been awesome. Like one of the better players I've seen this year, besides him getting tracked down by Metcalf. He's been like awesome. A couple of things too with the Bills. They've had a number of guys hurt. Tre'Davious White, he's a guy that might not play this week. And then Stephon Diggs and Hopkins are two of the top receivers, right? I believe from receptions. So, you got a little bit of matchup on that side here. And let's not forget Josh Allen, Kyler Murray. Like, you probably would have never put them in the same category, but two quarterbacks that are playing very well have their teams in a good position here. A couple of trends here I just wanted to give out. The Bills are 0-3-1 against the spread. They allowed less than 90 rushing yards in their previous game. So normally after that, they play a team that can run the football, and they struggle in these situations. So to Dan's point, that might be something that Arizona looks to do, whether it's with Murray. Drake playing yet? Is he back?
Their
backup's been very good, too. What's his name?
Chase Edmonds. Yeah. And I think Edmonds is the more explosive dynamic of the two. I know Buffalo is going to have Tre'Davious White. He practiced in full on Friday. Same with Josh Norman. And when Josh Norman practices, that's great because I think Josh Norman is kind of past his prime a little bit. I mean, let's call it as is. He's not very good anymore, okay? He's not the type of player he was. And I like when Norman's out there. I think that you can expose Norman in a number of different ways. And so, you know, especially with the way that Christian Kirk's been playing for Arizona, I think that he's really turned on his game the past few weeks. Fitzgerald's been steady. You're not going to get any – you don't have to expect anything crazy out of him, but he's been steady. And, of course, Hopkins. I mean, you know, Hopkins is going to go up against White, obviously, most likely. And, you know, that's a that's an advantage for Hopkins, the size matchup. White is a smaller corner despite being physical and very good. Mm.
A topic one day not for a gambling show, but Chandler Jones, right? Not a part of the defense there. Led the league in sacks, what, a year ago? Just, if he could be a part of this, they'd be, just think about what Arizona could be. At the same time, you take him out of the mix and still pretty, I mean, it's just him as the player. I'm just trying to throw it out there. We can talk about this another day. Like the Patriots moved on from, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, replaceable? Like a guy with that kind of sack production.
When
you look up J.J. Watt versus Chandler Jones, and like, just do that. Do that someday, everybody. I want to get back to the gambling stuff. By the way, the total on that one, 56. It was 49.
Yeah, I think this is going to be...
I'm leaning under.
Yeah.
Most of these Cardinals games have been going under. I think six out of... What was their record? Yeah, 7 out of their 8 games have gone under.
The one thing I will say defensively is that they play early Thursday. So Arizona has that Thursday game.
A look ahead to Seattle that they beat. Seattle needs a win, right? They need one this week, too.
I mean, neither of the teams can look ahead. The Cardinals cannot look past Buffalo, and Seattle cannot look past LA.
Seattle needs the Rams this week, and with their defense the way it is, woof.
That's another massive game. Yeah. Seattle-Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the spread, gets, you know what the spread is?
One in favor of the Rams.
Yeah. Which
it's up to 2 now, which is, you know.
I get it. Recency shows you that the Seahawks defense is bad.
It's Joe. It's really bad.
No, I
know. It's really bad.
But I'll tell you this much. Can the, you know, Aaron Donald, I think, is going to have to be a big part of that game. Who's their big defensive back?
Ramsey.
They, like, need those two guys to, like, lock down. I think that's a winnable game for Seattle.
It's Rams now minus 2.5, actually. Yeah.
I just think that the people are going to look at the Seattle defense like it's
Rams
so
are coming off a bye, though, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And listen, McVay always gets something cooking. You know, he's always – I think the Rams are a loaded, like, offensively talented team that just – and I don't think it's Goff's fault. I just think that there's too much, like, knowledge going on around McVay throwing stuff around. Like, dude, you have really good receivers, good tight ends, good running backs. Like, let them just play. Throwing all this, you know, crazy minutia out there.
This is a massive week for the NFC West because you have the Cardinals facing the Bills.
Which
the
might
Seahawks
be one of the best
the Rams,
conferences.
Those three teams are all in the running for the division. I mean, this is a huge, huge week for the division and for, you know, wild card, you know, stipulations. So, I'd say Arizona needs to win more than Buffalo does. I think Buffalo's probably got the division wrapped up, minus maybe, you know, a scare from Miami down here. And both the Rams and the Seahawks, I think you could argue, need this win. So,
all right, Dan's in the car. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening, bud?
Hey, Dan, shakily is actually an adverb.
Ooh.
We found that out the other day. thanks for listening to the podcast.
I know. I want to talk about Colorado and Stanford. Now, the line opened up at 7. It's sitting at 9.5. I want to say mainly because their quarterback, who had a positive coronavirus test, is back. The over-under opened at 58. It's now 54.5. Now, Colorado is looking at Arizona State at home next week, and Stanford's looking at Washington State. The last 3 Colorado-Stanford games has gone 2-1 in favor of Colorado straight up, 2-1 against the spread for Colorado. Stanford has been favored the past 3 games. Not to mention that the Stanford kicker actually sucks. In that game against Oregon last week, he missed 4.
I don't think they can kick if they have to. I don't think they will.
No, that would have been a completely different game.
Oh yeah. Oregon might not have covered if that was the case.
You're yeah. Right. Because I love my Ducks, you know. I'm a mailman out here. I wear my Oregon Ducks every game day.
Love it.
So, anyways, try and talk me out of. I've already done it, but you know, I kind of want to get you guys' thoughts. I want to take the under. I want to take Colorado +9, and then I also want to take a little bit on Colorado moneyline.
So I'll give you guys thoughts. Thanks, man. I'll give you a trend right now. The under in this meeting, last 5 meetings, 5-0. The under.
Listen, we talked about this on the podcast. I think Colorado's a legitimate live dog this week. I don't blame you for wanting the sprinkle, and I do like the 9.5, which probably means that you should run for the hills and take Stanford -9.5 because I have been cooled. But that being said, I'm not going to lay it. I do think that Colorado was really good versus UCLA at home last week. They were 48 points. I know UCLA is not exactly, you know, a world-beating team, but they're, you know, Dorian Thompson-Robinson is pretty good. And, you know, Stanford without Davis Mills, what are they exactly? And I know that obviously he's back this week. I'm interested to see how that defense performs without him because last week these two defenses, yikes. Seriously, yikes.
Yep. We will talk with Luke Pregondi today from Prop Swap. We got him coming up about 7:50 today. He's going to call in Tucker. So when he calls in, just patch him right through. He's got some Masters tickets. Tucker's like watching the Masters. Like he's like doing swings.
I have it on the computer and I have it on the TV.
Yeah. So whenever he like pulls up your bell, have you heard the a tradition unlike any?
Yeah. Sorry.
In the background.
I have it muted now.
It's okay. No, it's fine. I get it. When we bet
DeChambeau birdie first hole.
Nice. Well, when we have games on here, you know, I'm watching the games too. I'm gonna, you know, I'll be giving a take while, oh, he's got a touchdown, you know. Anyway, 617-779-0985. I'm glad that we have callers every week, that like regular callers that bring something to the table every week. Even soccer bets, we'll take them. Even UFC bets, we take them. But I'm glad you guys wake up with us here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show, 98.5 The Sports.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You blow money fast on the sass. Catch up.
All right, back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub, DraftKings Over-Under Show. We got a couple of minutes here, then we're going to go to Luke. Get everything happening over at Prop Swap. I just want to get into one thing last week that I just wanted to bring up quickly. I talk about consistency. I've liked Florida all year long. Florida wins outright. I like Notre Dame. They win outright. Like, it's consistency. So how do I tell you today, Dan, to take BC over Notre Dame? How do I... If I'm not being consistent, and I just want to throw some stats out there, the underdog is 9-4 in the last 13 meetings. Does that mean anything anymore in this matchup? Probably not, right?
No. Probably not.
The road team in the last 7 meetings is 5-2 against the spread, which would be Notre Dame.
Yep.
The under is 8-1 the last 9 meetings. So, what do we have for a total today?
50.5.
I feel like it goes over.
Good defensive Notre Dame team. I mean, I know they, you know, obviously let up some points to Clemson, but that DJ kid, he's good. I mean, I don't like him, but because I it's going to suck watching Clemson go from Lawrence to that kid.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like, no, they don't skip a beat.
I think his arm strength is incredible.
he's more mobile than Lawrence is. Like.
But just on Notre Dame, I mentioned this last week. It's not tooting my horn or anything. I said that Kyren Williams was going to have a big day, and he did. And I think he could have a huge day against BC.
He could. But, I mean, listen, BC's run defense this year has been
putrid. Look what they did against Virginia Tech. You know what I mean? Like,
and they were better versus ETN and Clemson. They definitely shored up the line, and they said, you know, DJ, prove us you're a legit quarterback. In the second half, he did that. Mm-hmm. They came back, you know, whatever, they won. But I think that BC's run defense in general has been poor.
Anything to Djokovic playing his former team, them knowing his tendencies? And does that lean towards the under at all?
I think it's almost like a revenge game for him. I mean, this is the team that basically passed.
But who wants
on.
Who?
I mean,
is it the Notre Dame defense being like, we know this kid, we can get him? Or is it Djokovic being like, I've played against this defense, I can...
Probably both. I mean, you're probably looking at both. I mean, but if you're Djokovic, you're probably, you want to make an impact. You want to be like, hey, you MFers let me go. you know, I'm a ruin your perfect season type thing.
Let me ask you a question. Who's been better this year, Ian Book or Djokovic?
Djokovic. And I don't even think it's been very close. I
completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, Book was very good versus Clemson. I think you have to give him credit for what he did there. But in general, Djokovic has been the better, more consistent quarterback. 12 points against Louisville. And, like, let's not forget week one versus Duke. They were winning that game barely. I know they end up pulling away late, but Notre Dame's offense this year at times has been very questionable. It's been the defense that's been, you know, the steady go-to for that team.
I think the defense, could there be a hangover? And it's the bandana game, right?
It is.
Got to get that record. I'm going to look that up. We got to take a quick break. We got Luke from Prop Swap. He's going to give us all the big tickets that are out there at Prop Swap. All that coming up next here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifschitz is here. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show. We love to check in with our guy, Luke Pergandi. He is from PropSwap. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Luke. What are some of the big tickets happening right now on PropSwap? What is some of the big swings that you're seeing out there?
Yeah. Good morning, guys. Gosh, I mean, the Masters is easily the busiest weekend of the year for us in terms of number of tickets that are selling, so that's a tough question. I would say, you know, watching the tournament right now, we got a Patrick Reed ticket up at odds of 27-1. He is 25-1 at MGM, so obviously great value there. We got a Tiger ticket up at odds of 29-1. Sold an Abraham Hanser ticket earlier this morning. I mean, you name the golfer, we're selling tickets on him. Yeah, we're the only place in the country where you can do this. If you make your bet offshore or, you know, with your bookie, you obviously can't sell that again. So, you know, it's a busy weekend.
Hey, question for you, Luke. So obviously we're seeing John Rahm, you know, right now is a share of the lead, -9. Dustin Johnson, share of the lead, -9. You know, where are you guys at with tickets on these two guys? Because I feel like these two are probably going to be some of the heavier, more populated, more desired tickets, no?
Yeah, no, we sold a John Rahm ticket at a +240 this morning. He is at exactly market value at all the casinos. Looking, we have, gosh, four other John Rahm tickets up for sale. Yeah, I mean, you know, guys like that, like, I realize John Rahm's an incredible golfer, obviously, and his shot on Wednesday was potentially the best golf shot I've ever seen in my lifetime. But again, if you can sell something on a Saturday of the Masters at odds of +175 and you got them at, you know, 12-1, like that's an incredible deal. There's so much golf left and so many good golfers at the top of this leaderboard. If I can sell a John Rahm ticket at a +175 odds on Saturday, I'm doing that.
Yeah. Like Justin Rose right now, $69. For a $1,200 ticket, you got your Xander Schauffele, which expires in an hour, by the way. I'd get in on that one at $35. Now, for me, Luke, I fade the top of the board. And we've mentioned this, but the favorite for this event has not won since 2005, which was Tiger Woods. Yeah. How much money have you been seeing on Tiger Woods, or at least have there been any tickets out there for Tiger?
Of course.
Of course, right? Everyone wants to jump on the Tiger train.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, like we have sellers who just sit in, you know, legal sports book markets, so Indianapolis or Las Vegas or New Jersey, and they'll just post tickets on PropSwap and make a little side hustle out of it. So for states like, you know, Massachusetts and California, where sports betting is not legal yet, like you can pounce on these tickets that people are posting. We've sold a ton of Tiger Woods tickets. You know, again, Abraham Anser. I mean, you name the golfer, we're flipping tickets on him. This website was just built for golf. It's way difficult for me to convince someone who has a Boston Celtics NBA Finals ticket they've been holding for 9 months to sell it on month number 9 versus convincing someone who bought a Tiger ticket on Tuesday to sell it again on Saturday. Like that conversation is a much easier one.
Dan, I don't know if you have any more on golf, but have you seen the other stuff that's
on there? Oh, yeah, of course. I have one more on golf because I just got to ask because he was the true odds favorite going in. Luke, tell me what the hell happened with DeChambeau with all the tickets there, because I'm sure there was probably ridiculous action. Every single golf guy I know had a little something on DeChambeau.
Yep. He was clearly the unanimous favorite to win this thing. I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves and crowning this guy at the Masters. This golf course is not like, these courses he'd be winning in rural Texas. Some guys noticed that he was off to a really poor start on Thursday, and they got out. So, they took a loss, but they got something back. So, for example, I saw a guy bet $1,000 on DeChambeau at 10-1 odds, and he ended up selling it for $300 a couple holes into Thursday. So, obviously, that is looking smart now, because $300 or $300, it's a flight once the pandemic calms down. It goes both ways. People always talk about the huge profits that people make on PropSwap by selling things for a gain. But you can also take a loss on things that, this guy got $300 back for his $1,000 ticket.
Yeah, and Luke Pergandi joins us here on the DraftKings Over Under show. So there's other stuff out here, dude, that I'm all over. I didn't realize you guys had 12-leg parlays that you could do every week. Dan's totally against that. But you could hit on a $20 ticket for $5,000, dude. Like, all this stuff is here. By the way, it's like such an easy layout to like understand. Buy here, bid here. Like, it's a great layout. I'm not kissing your guys' ass because you're on the phone with us. It really is like that kind of great thing. But there's a few things out there. For example, there's a Cincinnati, the Bearcats, we were talking about earlier today, to win the national championship. Like, there's some stuff on there. Mac Jones to win the Heisman. Like, that might be worth a buy, just the way that everything's happening in college football, and I don't know who's going to beat Alabama. And then there's a Saints to win the NFC Championship. Like, there's some tickets on here, man, that are definitely going to cash. And I think even though it might be square, you're still going to win some money here. Even if you put up a 350, you might win $800. I think this is a no-brainer of a site. And if you love to dabble, this is the place to go here, Luke.
Yeah. I think, talking about the Saints ticket, like, people do not use our bidding functionality nearly enough. Like, I am constantly talking to our customers, and they would take less money than is what their ask is. So, like, that Saints ticket, if you bid, let's say we have it posted at 4-1, if you bid odds of 7-1, like, there is a very high chance that the seller would accept that. So, I would encourage all of your listeners, like, please use the bidding functionality. It's worth it. If the seller doesn't respond in a few hours, then just buy it anyway. Hmm. But at least throw a bid out and see if you can get a bargain, because a lot of these sellers, you got to remember that seller probably initially got the Saints at 15-1. So he's making a profit.
Yeah. And
right?
I was going to say, if you think the Bucks win the championship, $400 gets you $2,400. If you think Notre Dame is going to win the championship this year, $500 gets you $2,000. Like, I just see value. Joe Burrow, rookie of the year, $58 can get you $120. You can buy, you can bid on it. Like, there's value here to make profit.
And the other thing is that it's legal in states, as you said, like Massachusetts, where, we don't have legalized gambling here, but you can go out, buy a ticket, and it's legal to send it in. And if it cashes, it's legal to send it in and get your money. And, there's no repercussions, nothing to worry about. And you're going to get paid, because these are from all certified sports books.
Yeah. Hey, Luke, everything's going great, man. Everything looks good here, dude. I'm already starting to dabble. Like, I'm looking for my I didn't see that BYU ticket, though. I'm still scrolling, man.
we didn't find you a BYU. Use that search bar at the top right. BYU ticket.
Because I'm telling you right now, man, like, I know everyone's going to be on the Alabamas of the world, but these Coastal Carolina, is there a Coastal Carolina to make the that's what I'm looking for here. But hey, Luke, appreciate the time. Thank you for waking up early with us. We love Prop Swap. All our listeners do as well, and we're going to be following it on the Masters. Our buddy Tucker's he's already got his fingers wearing out back there watching the Masters and betting on this. So we will talk to you down the line, Luke. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Dan. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. That is Luke Pergandi. This site, dude, is awesome.
It's legal, and not to mention there are situations where you're able to get better odds based upon the money you spend to buy the ticket, you're able to get better odds than pretty much any book in the world at certain ventures. Mm. I mean, it's something that, again, another betting tool that you need to use to, you know, to help you basically, you know, do the best. I know there are legitimate sharp players who do the same thing. They buy the tickets because they get the best odds. They need if they want some exposure on that, that's how they do it.
Jose Abreu to win the MVP of baseball sold 7,900 and hit big.
Big.
Hit for 14-4.
There you go.
Steelers to win the AFC North, 1,000, win you 2,300.
That's a nice ticket.
How about Russell Wilson to win the MVP this year? 1,600 to get you 75.
Man, that's pretty good odds. I mean, at this point, what? I think he's slightly behind Mahomes. We talked about
Mahomes,
that.
Rodgers.
Yeah, we talked about that. The guys who usually are leading in the first 8 weeks are never the guys who usually end up finishing as the MVP.
All right, we love the guys from PropSwap. So, Hardy, I know I've watched Hardy on PropSwap before, just buying stuff. He's I think he's got a PropSwap addiction.
PropSwap problem.
PropSwap problem. Hey, hour two of the DraftKings Over Under Show after the headline.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. Let's do the Patriots-Ravens here. People are waking up. You want to talk about any games today, 617-779-0985. I mentioned earlier the Patriots have not been a dog this high at home since 01. They lost that game, they covered, and then went on to win the championship that year. Baltimore, in general, they win last week. They beat a good Colts defense. Lamar Jackson has been shaky at best. He even said in an interview this week that defenses are calling out his plays.
Yep. I mean, again, it's run. I mean, come on, you know what they're doing.
You know who I think is the straw that stirs the drink for them is Mark Ingram. I really do. I think Ingram is such a powerful back for them.
He's been hurt though.
Yeah, no, and that's what I mean. Since he's been out, Lamar Jackson's and I'm not saying he has something to do with his passing ability or anything like that, but I don't know if there's like a comfort level with those two. The other thing, too, is when they do that fake handoff, when Ingram's running through that hole, he's like another blocker, dude. Like, he's another, you know, and I think that's really big for him.
I think Dobbins has been pretty good.
Dobbins has been fine. For a rookie, he's been what you've at.
Gus Edwards had, I think, was it a fumble near the goal line last week? And, I mean, that really cost him early on. It cost him the first half, so.
These two teams know each other. Cam Newton's had success against the Ravens in two games. He's won big and then he got crushed in the other. So that's one thing to consider this week. Let's just nuts and bolts call it what it is. Can the Patriots stop the run? They did last week, but that was the Jets, right? It wasn't about stopping the Jets. The Jets ran four plays in the fourth quarter. You need to run the football. If you're going to beat the Patriots, you need to run the football and attack their linebackers. J.C. Jackson, say what you want. I know he's been getting beat up, but when you attack him that final time, he makes the big play. The Patriots have made big plays in games that they – last week they get an interception. The Denver game, they get an interception. Say what you want about their defense. It hasn't been good. At times when they've needed stops this year, they've done so, and I'm not crediting them whatsoever.
Got to stop against Buffalo.
Exactly. Granted, they dropped a touchdown, but they got the stop. You know what I'm saying?
Stop's a stop.
In three situations this year, they've had a football chance to tie or win a game from a stop from their defense, and they didn't. Well, last week they did. They got that interception on the Joe Flacco, which was stupid. I'm sorry. Stupid play. First down, you're up, and you throw that pass. They score. You get the ball back. You run it three times and punt it, and you lose. Four plays. They ran four plays. Last year, you remember the Ravens crushed the Patriots. It was that Mohamed Sanu game, whatever. Unless the Patriots find – now, they'll probably get Lawrence Guy back. They'll get Coward up front. They're going to get all their linebackers back. Looks like N'Keal Harry may play this week. I don't even know if that's a plus or not.
It's a plus.
Okay. Can they stop the run? And can their linebackers cover the tight ends? Can they cover the tight ends? They have, two, three tight ends?
You need Kyle Duggar. You're going to have to use JoJuan Williams. You're going to have to use some guys that Bill has not used, you know, or been comfortable using the past few weeks. He's going to have to go out of his comfort zone and rely on those guys. Not to mention, Joe, Here's the other thing that worries me for the Ravens, right? First off, everyone's going to be on Baltimore. We know this. It's not a surprise. Everyone's going to tease Baltimore down to -1. That's not a surprise either. The last few weeks, primetime favorites have been getting smoked. And I don't mean like favorite on the line. I mean public favorites. 2 weeks ago, week 8, Falcons-Panthers. Everyone was on the Panthers.
Yep, we included. Yep.
Falcons, we win that going away 25-17. The Eagles-Cowboys is the one exception to the rule. Sunday Night Football, the Cowboys with Ben DiNucci. Not even close. Not even close. Monday night, that week, Bucks-Giants. Well, Giants 13.5-point dogs, winning that game until late in the...
Backdoor cover, but yep, go ahead.
The Giants were winning that game late. And then they were going to pull away. The Packers, Thursday night,
was a lot of COVID issues with the... They got it over the total, though.
And then... Saints-Bucks. Yep. Saints demolished the Bucks. Pats-Jets. Jets covered.
And then the Titans at home.
And then the Colts cover against the Titans. So the public has struggled the past few weeks in primetime. I don't really see what's going to change about that. I think people are going to be on those primetime Ravens, on those primetime Vikes.
What's the total?
Total on this one's 43. I'll give you a
PP over 43. The over is 4-0 the last four meetings between the two teams.
There you go.
That's with Cam Newton this year. I think the offense is slightly getting better for the Patriots. Slightly.
I think it is. I mean, Newton was not the problem last week. I agree with that sentiment. My sentiment was that the Patriots lose last week. I think you got to turn the page on Newton because there's no reason to continue starting quarterback
for
a losing
team. This is a gambling show. Watch Cam Newton when he's under center compared to when he's in shotgun. His mechanics are terrible from shotgun. They're much better under center. Jacoby Myers, maybe they cover him this week. Who knows, right? Someone else going to have to get open. The other things I just want to throw out there, the underdog, 6-2-1 the last 9 meetings. The road team is 6-2-1 in the last 9 meetings. The Ravens are 4-1-1 their last 6 games in New England. And we've known that, right? The Ravens have never been afraid to come into New England. Never.
Nope. And I think that starts from the coach down. And so I don't think that's going to be I don't think that's anything different. But I do think that Lamar Jackson has struggled. I know that they played very well in that second half against the Colts. But I think that, you know, just in general, Baltimore, even at 6-2, they have not been the team that they were last year. I think Lamar Jackson has definitely, teams have figured out a way to defend him better. And I think that they've definitely struggled, throughout the season, even though they are 6-2. So, and again, 4-0 away. So they have been a good road team.
So there you go. That's my pick, at least on the, and I'm not putting my money on the Patriots until they can prove something.
They have a chance to prove it to you this week, right?
They do. I'm not going to back them. No. I like the over more.
That's fair. I understand not wanting to back the Patriots.
Like, if it's a 24-21 game, are you surprised? If it's a 24, I don't know, if it's a 31-17 game?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think the Patriots are going to keep it somewhat close. Okay. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. How about this? I certainly hope not, but I think they'll keep it within reachable distance just because I think you're going to see a lot of running from both teams on both sides of the football. Can we talk about the other primetime game? Monday night, Bears-Vikings. So I talked about this on the podcast. If you listened over under 985, we did the podcast Thursday. The team that I wanted to talk about was the Bears, right? And I said I need a 3 to feel comfortable taking the Bears in this situation. Vikings 3-5, 2-2, and a 3-point road favorite in Chicago. I know things have been bad for the Bears. And offensively, they have struggled the past few weeks. Dalvin Cook has been a monster. The Vikings have really rebounded. And, you know, they may not be what everyone thought they were going to be before the season. But still, after starting, 0-5, 0-4, whatever it was, now they've ripped off, I think they won 3 of their last 5. They've been better. They've been better, Joe. I still like the Bears here. The look ahead was -2.5, -3. They're now getting 3 points. This sort of reminds me of that Rams-Niners game on Monday night earlier in the season where where the Niners were, I can't remember, it was the Rams. I think the Rams were like a -3 to look at, and the Niners open as a 3-point favorite. And then I think it was the Rams just ran all over them. I expect something similar. I mean, the Bears' run defense should, you know, fare well against Dalvin Cook here. I expect them to make Kirk Cousins beat them, and you know, you never really know. Kirk Cousins versus Nick Foles, it's a fair fight. The defensive edge has to go to Chicago. To, you know, no matter, you know, how poor their offense has played, you know, recently. So I'm going to take the Bears. Give me the Bears +3 here,
Pete. Hey. Couple of trends here. The Vikings struggle in Chicago. 1-5 against the spread the last 6 meetings. But the underdog, 5-1 against the spread the last 6 meetings. So let's not forget about that. One other thing to throw in there. When the games are in Chicago, the under is 5-1. So that's what, 2, 4, 6. So last 3 years.
I mean, the total in that one is the same as the Patriots, 43.5. It is a low total.
People gave up on the Vikings, though. That's the only thing I'm going to say here. Remember when the Vikings were the worst team?
They were.
And now Dalvin Cook is an MVP candidate, right?
Yeah.
If he can be healthy.
I think that's a tad bit much. You know what I mean?
I saw it on Prop Swap.
what was it on there? I think it's like
I don't know what it was, but I saw it. I was like, huh, Dalvin Cook's been really good lately. Like, imagine, like, him bringing them to, like, you know, winning the division or something.
Yeah.
You know, 11-5 based off Dalvin Cook's 2,000 rushing yard season. He can't stay healthy. And I don't think he can run in cold weather.
I just don't think that there's, that's another interesting point, too. I just think the Bears are going to make Kirk, you load the box and say, hey, Kirk Cousins, beat us, do it. And obviously Cook's been fantastic. He was fantastic against Green Bay. He was even better against the Lions last week. I just think that the Bears are going to, you know, kind of put together a little bounce back here. Six point swing or 5.5 point swing is a lot on a Monday night on the road in Chicago. It's a big swing.
What did you mention earlier about public favorites, though? Do you think the Bears will be the public favorite here?
No, right now Minnesota is getting the majority of the bet. 59% of the bet on Minnesota currently at this time.
Hey, real quick, where can people find where the money is coming in on? What? I suggest covers.com. Is there anywhere you look at?
I like Sports Insights, okay. Particularly is the app. Now, it is a paid service if you want to get for the money percentages and all that stuff. I particularly like them. I think they do a good job over there and everything like that. So
I like Covers because it's easy. It's just a psh, zip, blip, blip, click, boom, up, up.
It gives you everything.
And there's a forum in there that I suggest staying out of.
You'll get caught in that forum and you'll read it all day.
People, it's a bad place. I like this one. Mark's in Wayland. Hello, Mark.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, Mark?
What's good?
What's going on,
Dan,
Mark?
I love you, man. I went to Wayland High School, Sean's little brother.
Hey!
What's going on, Mark?
Not much. You called that Lamar Jackson thing being MVP like 2 summers ago. That was crazy. I remember sitting on Kyle's couch. But also, I just want to know, since you called that, who do you think will be the Patriots starting quarterback week 1 next year? That Deshaun Watson rumor from a few months ago just popped back in my head. Want to see what you guys have to say about that.
All right, man. Well, I have odds from March. And I believe it was Deshaun Watson won.
He was. He was the odds on.
Can he get, is there, all right, let's just hammer it out. If the Patriots happen to get a top 10 to 13 pick, could they trade it to Houston? They don't have a first round pick because they gave it to Miami.
Right.
Would there be any way they could get out of the like, what happens if, like, Watson's like, dude, I'm going to retire? Is there any shot?
He just signed a massive extension.
But that's what I'm trying to say. The Patriots have the money to take it on, and all they have to do is give up their first round pick.
If it's the cost of a first round pick, I think
would you do it?
Right, Tuck?
Would you do it?
Would I trade a top 15 pick?
For Deshaun Watson,
I don't think it would take more than that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
If it was like a first and a...
Would you do it? Would you rather draft a kid or take Deshaun Watson?
I'd rather draft a kid.
Oh, give me
that's
Watson.
That's a massive contract.
I agree with you. Me too. But, I mean, but it's a but they have a $100 million cap.
The team has a lot more holes to fill.
Yeah, but it's a massive contract compared to like
big chunk.
Yeah, I think it's less than some of the other deals. Though, give me Watson.
Kirk Cousins, Mahomes.
Like I just feel like it's a.
I think for Watson, you're looking at minimum three first round.
Well, I just feel like if you get Watson. I'm suggesting the first round pick and maybe a second the next year. Or something.
Oh man, I think it would take a lot more than that.
Okay, I don't know. I'm just
that's fair.
That's where I'm leaning. The odds were there, right?
I think that you'll probably end up with a Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones,
Jimmy Garoppolo
type guy next year. I think that throw Cam Newton in the mix. We'll see how he does the rest of the season.
I mean, $39 million a year, that's never been a Belichick thing.
No, it's not.
That's insane.
It's not. And I do agree with that.
Could they restructure the deal and give him money up front?
I don't think
Why would he do that?
I don't think you can restructure a year out. I think you have to wait like at least a full year to re-sign.
Okay. Just throwing it out there because that was the favorite. All right, guys.
No, it's fine. It's a discussion to have. I don't think they could swap.
But Tucker, you say draft a kid.
I want to see I want to see Belichick either draft a kid or Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
How would you guys feel about Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones? Because I think there's a chance that if Jones really fails going forward, that they're going to end up getting a top two pick. They have to go Fields, right? And you know something similar with the Jets. They're going Trevor Lawrence. Let's say that they cut Darnold because I don't think the Jets would trade Darnold to the Patriots.
My only concern is Darnold Garoppolo injuries. That's it. My only concern with those guys, can they play? Yeah. No. And can we stop the Cam Newton and the plans next year? Please, no.
Oh, no. Who's pounding that home?
Why don't you just Google Cam Newton?
No, there's
really?
there's been a lot of stuff going into it that he's in the plans next year.
Do a little Google search.
I think Bill loves Cam, but I think that he'd take Jimmy over him. Come on. We know how he feels about Jimmy. Jimmy's his buddy.
Listen, Cam, I like you. You're a good guy. You take the heat after every game. You were a great quarterback, but man, you are bad to watch. You're bad to watch. You're the old Patriots of slinging it around. Oof. Woof. I can't bet on you anymore, so I don't like you. 617-779-0985. More of the DraftKings Over Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshack.
I need to follow the sports up. We're going to preview the Miami game that's coming up today versus Virginia Tech in a little bit. Indiana and Michael Penix with an X. Really, Tucker, you should look at this guy. This is very good. Very, very good. They take on Michigan State today. And what was that other game that you were talking about, Dan?
There is Wisconsin, Michigan. There's Miami, Virginia Tech. There are a few. I mean, the slate is, in general, the games are blech.
Well, yeah, but, we lost LSU, Alabama.
Yep.
I mean, Alabama was going to put a hurting on LSU.
SMU Tulsa is a pretty sneaky good
game.
Ooh,
Tulsa getting points.
Yeah, now they are. It was Tulsa -2. It is now SMU -1. So got some movement there.
A little movement there. Let's see.
We've lost so many games.
We lost Coastal Carolina, the Roosters. That's upsetting.
We lost A&M Tennessee, Ohio State Maryland.
Texas A&M, dude. How about that? If they just hang on. They might get in.
They have a chance.
Like a one-loss Texas A&M or BYU. To me, it's BYU.
I mean, to me, I'd rather go BYU, but of course it's not going to happen.
You know it's going to happen.
Of course it's not going to happen. A&M has to face Tennessee on the road at Auburn, home versus LSU. They may get caught again.
All right. While we're at it, I want to talk about this. BYU... and Cincinnati are their own, like, on their own islands.
And Coastal.
Cincinnati has to win their conference. Then let's put Coastal and Marshall, okay? So BYU's independent. Marshall's basically independent, right? Where are they now?
Marshall's Conference USA.
Conference USA, and they already beat App State.
Yep.
So Cincy, Marshall, and Coastal have to win their conferences, right? They have to play in the conference game?
Yep.
And then Liberty. What's Liberty in?
Liberty is independent.
Okay. So BYU and Liberty have a chance to go undefeated by not playing a conference game. I would say BYU is better than Liberty, in my opinion.
I think that's a fair assessment.
Between Cincy, Coastal, and Marshall, I think Cincinnati's the better team, but I'd like to see a Cincy versus Marshall. I'd be interested in watching
that. I think
that.
Coastal's better than Marshall.
So I think Coastal is a...
Coastal offensively is better than Marshall, and I think defensively they're relatively the same. I think you'd see Coastal favorite on a line there.
The three teams that are going to get hammered if they don't win their conference game are Cincy, Coastal, and Marshall. Can Liberty leapfrog any of those teams?
I think they
with
can
one loss.
I mean, I think they're already ahead of Marshall because Marshall's Conference USA schedule is brutal.
Yeah, they're going to win out easily.
Yeah, it's brutally bad.
So they're kind of underhand there. So they might be the team that's out. Coastals, if they win the Sun Belt, I mean, can they be a top 12 team?
Listen, if you guys have listened to the podcast and my Twitter, you've seen how I feel about the Sun Belt. I think they're a better conference this year than the ACC. I mean, really, the ACC has Clemson, Notre Dame, and then what? You can argue Miami. Okay. And again,
no, I get you.
If you want to argue those are the top three and those are the three best teams, fair. Okay, that's fair. What does the ACC have after that? UNC? I mean, really, that's the fourth best team? Again, I'm going to go back to this. The Sun Belt played the Big 12 three games this year. Sun Belt, 3-0 straight up. Straight up, not against the spread. Straight up. Okay? They beat, was it Arkansas State? Beat Iowa State, the leader in the Big 12. Yeah. The leader.
ULL did too, I believe, right?
Oh, was it Lafayette?
Yeah, Lafayette.
Sorry, I apologize. Yeah. Not Arkansas State. Arkansas State beat Kansas State. Yeah. That's who it was. Lafayette beat Iowa State, the leader in the Big 12.
All I'm trying to say is there's going to be Alabama. There's going to be Ohio State. It's going to be Notre Dame and Clemson. Clemson's getting the luck of the whole Trevor Lawrence thing, which maybe it's deserving, maybe. They've won the national. They've been there. Okay, whatever. Notre Dame just needs to win the ACC. Now that's an issue.
Does one loss Notre Dame team get in over a one loss Texas A&M? Because I think an undefeated BYU.
That's going to be. See, I think Notre Dame's win over Clemson will be bigger than anything Texas A&M lost.
This was the perfect year.
Alabama though.
This is the perfect year to do like a 16 team format and say, you know what?
Do you think Ohio State rolls Big Ten? Yeah, because I think the Big Ten's terrible.
Yeah,
I really do.
They suck.
And then Alabama, I don't see anybody beating Alabama at all year. They're a machine.
Do they play anyone? They have to play the SEC championship.
Yeah, but I'm not who Florida.
They would wreck Florida.
I think they would.
Because, they'll get a stop or two in Florida. I don't think Florida would stop
them. That's the day you can say the Florida defense. All right, that's the day you can say, I mentioned this to you, but I think the best player in the country is Devontae
Smith.
Smith. I know it's hard to say that a wide receiver is the best player in the country. Man, he's good. He is awesome.
Man, I this is rooting against my own team, but I almost hope that Ohio State gets caught by Indiana or Michigan. I would like to see
Indiana would be fantastic.
I would like to see someone else in the tournament for once. But it's just the same teams over and over
and
over.
And that's why I'm bringing this up. Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Clemson. Okay, Notre Dame, Clemson are probably going to knock each other out.
I'm okay with Notre Dame. It's something somewhat new.
So therefore, Texas A&M is the next team, right? So Texas A&M will probably have to – they already lost to Alabama. So let's say SEC – and then there's Florida. Florida, let's say they lose to Alabama. They're out. Done. See ya. So if Notre Dame loses – is Texas A&M move up? And that means that who is the sixth or seventh team in the country? Florida's out. So it's Cincinnati?
Cincinnati, BYU? BYU? But again, this is going to be the same thing we saw with UCF a few years ago. They couldn't make it in over a one – was it one loss?
And who did they play? LSU? They hung around and then they it got ugly.
No,
right?
They won.
Oh, they beat LSU. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right. They did. Yeah. They went 10-0 and thought they won the national championship.
Yeah, they
or 13-0.
Dude, I think they
smoked LSU. It was Joe Burrow, LSU. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure they
I remember it was I was out to breakfast and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I think they
Yeah.
Dude, you again, I'm going to say the same thing. The non-Power 5 conferences are getting better. Because the Power 5, it's like the Prem. There's your top teams every single year, consistently year in, year out, and there's a fight for the middle of the table. And that's what it's like in all these conferences now. You have these top teams every single year in each conference, and it's a fight for the rest. And every other conference is like, you know, up and down. There's parity. And so I think that breeds competition, and they're getting better.
Can a Cincy or BYU pass Texas A&M?
No. No, they won't. Even though Texas A&M probably won't play in the SEC championship because of Alabama.
That's why I feel like if Cincinnati wins its division, its conference, they'll beat SMU, Memphis,
Houston,
whoever else, Navy, or then they're independent. They're in the whatever. They don't matter. But they win that conference. That's better than a Texas A&M. Whose only loss is to Alabama.
Oof. And they still have Tulsa on the schedule at the end of the season. They have UCF next week. I mean,
another win. Again, that's another tough one.
They're playing real teams, and you know, you're seeing these SEC teams play Missouri.
Let me ask you this. Kellen Mond, Desmond Ridder, what lights the lamp for you?
Oh, that is a tough one. Honestly, I think you have to go Ridder this year.
Mond's the name,
In the NFL, I'd go Mond, but in this year, I mean, Ritter's been...
How about Zach Wilson?
Wilson over both. He's like, what?
See what I mean? Everybody, this is what's happening with college football this year. You have to hope somebody could knock off Ohio State or BC knocks off Notre Dame today.
I just want the 16 teams or 24 teams. Like, let's expand. This is why, because it would be awesome. It would be so great to see
an 8-team playoff with Florida. Right now, it would be Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Clemson, Texas A&M, Cincinnati, BYU, Florida. You have a problem with that?
I mean, theoretically, yes, I do. I think Coastal Carolina has played a tougher schedule than most of those teams.
I think BYU is better than Coastal Carolina.
That's fine, But again,
we got to play it out. Right?
Again, it's about what you have done for me this season.
Will a team do what Cal and UCLA did? Would BYU say, let's play Coastal on a game that gets cold? They could do that. Hypothetically, that could happen.
It's true.
If there's an open spot. This week, they both could have played each other.
Yep. They could have. That would have been a fun
If game. I was BYU, I'd set it up. I'd start
and by the way, we're totally discounting like a Pac-12 team like Oregon or USC.
Well, USC does, yeah, and USC is projected to be that kind of.
Even though they almost lost last week, I want a non-Power 5 school to get into the tournament to see where do they match up. Are they actually better? Can it happen?
Wrestling fans, so what Dan is saying to us, the Power 5 schools are Roman Reigns and Cincinnati's Jey Uso.
I don't know who Jey Uso is, but the answer is
part
yes.
Of the Usos. Okay. Yes, that's a good comparison there. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I want to hit a couple more games real quick, but... Just getting back to this conversation, Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson. Notre Dame and Clemson are going to play each other again, probably. And then at some point, Indiana will play Ohio State. The only team that can really screw things up is Indiana. And then if Oregon can run the table.
Or USA.
Yeah. Yeah,
And then they meet in the Pac-12 championship.
If they meet in the Pac-12 championship game and USC wins, they have to be considered. But Oregon, I think right now, Oregon and Indiana are your two teams that can mash things up. And somehow you need Miami to win today and Notre Dame to lose the ACC championship game.
Maybe Notre Dame loses to BC and gets caught by UNC.
Somewhere in there.
It's not impossible.
And if they did go to the ACC championship game and Clemson won, Now you have to look at a Texas A&M Miami one loss.
I'm just rooting for upsets in the top 10.
I want Coastal Carolina in there. BYU.
I want Virginia Tech to steamroll Miami today. I want Notre Dame to take a dump against BC and UNC. Like I'm tired of the same three teams, and then the fourth, you know, one of the revolving doors, Georgia or Notre. I mean, Notre Dame is kind of new, so I guess that's, you know, that's fair. But you know, Georgia's in there almost every year, and it's like, can we get something new? Can we expand? Because then that'd be fun, really. Then you're like 16 teams, and you know, if you're not one of the top 16, sucks. I mean, that sucks to suck. Oh well.
Miami plays at Virginia Tech today. It's the second of back-to-back road games. We know how that works out. It's not great. Miami had a comeback win last week on the road against a home dog. And I got to tell you, the kid Harley, the wide receiver, is very good for Miami. And I didn't think Derek King could throw the way he has. I'm starting to wonder if he could be an NFL quarterback. I'm starting to actually wonder that. But the Hokies, they have Hendon Hooker, this junior like runner. He's really good. Their running back is very good as well.
Yeah.
So Virginia Tech, it's all about the running game. That's their bread and butter. I will tell you this. I think Miami's defense can beat this team. For me, it's, you know, what's the health of the tight end? Brevin Jordan got hurt. He's missed the last three games. If he can play today for Miami, I think he could really help. But the more I look at this, in the last year's meeting, Virginia Tech won this game 42-35. I think the difference is Derek King. And the trends, I think, lean, and I'll pull them up real quick. This is going to be a noontime game where, the number 9 ranked team in the country is getting 2.5 points at Virginia Tech.
I mean, it should tell you something. The books expect Miami to lose.
The favorites 5-1 against the spread
and the line keeps going up. It was Virginia Tech -1.5. Now it's 2. Now it's 2.5.
Just remember that trend today, people. When you want to look at Miami, I'm going to tell you this right now. I like Miami today, but it's setting you up for the square play of the day.
I think the 12 o'clock slate. The books have a chance to absolutely just crush Indiana. Looking at Ohio State. On the road at Michigan State, Miami on the road at Virginia Tech as a dog, Penn State on the road in Nebraska. Everyone's going to want to bounce back, take Penn State against 0-2 Nebraska. Wake Forest versus North Carolina. Can Wake Forest cover on the road against the UNC team? Although I think you'll probably see some even action there. And TCU, West Virginia. Everyone was on West Virginia early. You've seen some buyback with TCU because got the 3.5. I think the a lot of the sharp players took the TCU 3.5s. I gave that on the podcast Thursday, if you listened, at TCU 3.5. I don't think I would play at a 3. I think I would need a 3.5 to play it, or at least comfortably play it. But the 12 o'clock slate. And in Kentucky, Vanderbilt's getting a lot of action, Joe. A lot of people on Vanderbilt.
You know why? They passed some sort of thing today in Tennessee or this weekend or something. I wish I could show you where I read this article, but
gotcha.
It went that's why the money. Gotcha. Something happened in Tennessee this week with the books.
And then, dude, Rutgers is getting like an insane amount of action this week. Everyone is on Rutgers. Is 74% of the bet on Rutgers right now? Again, I think fading the public just as a general barometer is a bad way to measure. I think that is no longer profitable.
Not profitable. I'm telling. Yeah, I started the show telling you whatever you've been. Last night I went with a home dog and they did not work out. No. It's not working.
Yeah. So fading the public is not profitable. But I will tell you that teams like Rutgers get like 75% of the bet. Like, look out. You know what I mean.
Just a couple of more trends I wanted to throw into that Miami game. Miami, 1-5 against the spread the last 6 after scoring more than 40 points in the previous. So, like, when they have an offensive explosion, the next game they tend to struggle a little bit offensively. The under is probably the play here. When they're a road underdog, they're 7-0 towards the under.
The on the road this year, I mean, they definitely have been far worse than they have been at home. Louisville, they have that 47-34 win. I think they were better than that score indicates, right? I think we can say that they probably did that.
Yeah, I took Louisville that night and had no shot.
Yeah, I think that Miami probably won that game more than that, you know, than that score replicates. But on the road versus Clemson, which is a tough one, they got smoked, obviously. And then on the road versus NC State last week, I thought Miami should have lost that game.
Hawkman just threw up on his shoes.
Yep, I thought that.
They had an interception, and you know, they could have covered if he didn't slide.
I know.
To throw that out there. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll wrap up the show here. Maybe we got a couple of picks to give out as well. 617-779-0985.
Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz, the DraftKings Over/Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, we got 5 minutes to go. Wanted to give out a couple of picks here for those hanging around. I'm going UFC tonight. Rafael Dos Anjos is taking on Paul Felder. Felder, on 5 days' notice, took the fight. I think he's a good fight. I do. So what I'm doing here, instead of taking the over, I'm going to take go the distance. A little bit of juice here, Dan, but 177 to go the distance. I think De Anjos wins the fight by decision. And I think we can get that too, right? I'm on the DraftKings app now. And you can do the Felder fight. So over 4.5 rounds is 186. If you get it to go the distance, it's 177. So you save, $9 there or whatever. But I think I've seen this before, right? We've seen these guys, you know, on 10 days rest. I'm taking that tonight, that fight to go the distance
as a PP. There we go.
-177, but juicy. You gotta throw up a little bit of juice in the UFC.
Juicy. All right. I like it. Do you have football?
Yeah, and I'm not sure if I gave this out on the podcast or not, but I'll do it here. It opened at 2.5. I liked it at 3. That's, I think, where I'm confused.
I think you did, but I'm not positive.
So Cleveland's now 4 against Houston. I like it at 3, but you know what? Shooters shoot. Let's go Browns -4.
I think you gave it out on the podcast. I can't remember for sure. I think I gave out Arizona on the podcast too. We didn't write them down this week, as you can tell, because we've been busy this week. I'm going to do something I don't normally do, which is never a good thing. I'm going to take South Florida +14 against Houston. PP.
I despise that team.
I know. It's not normally a situation I would take, but I'm just things are not going super super well in the world of Lifschitz right now in terms of betting picks. So I'm trying to get off the schneid, and then I'll be playing some second halves today.
Ooh, I have one more pick for the day.
Okay, hit me.
Indiana at Michigan State. We should probably talk about this game. You know, Michigan State coming off that terrible loss to Iowa. But
by the way, looks good now.
Give me the over 52.
There you go. Indiana looking ahead to Ohio State next week. You should see some offense from Michigan State.
Over 5-1 last 6 games in Michigan State. Over is 10-2 the last 12 meetings between the two teams.
By the way, Michigan State, their loss to Iowa, the second game on a back-to-back roadie.
I think Indiana's awesome. I watched, maybe it was a, and oh, by the way, Michigan State won this game 40-31 a year ago. And that was with Brian Lewerke. Remember that guy?
I do.
So.
I do.
Just wanted to throw that with, but you are right. Look ahead. Michael Penix, 8-1 is the starting quarterback. His only loss, Dan? Last year at Michigan State.
Yeah, man. And Dan on Twitter writes in, Washington State has covered the past 10 games against the Ducks. 10-0 against spread against the Oregon Ducks.
Oh, yeah.
Ducks are favored on the road in Washington, +10.5. take Washington State plus 10.5. We talked about that on the podcast. Mm-hmm. We both like that. Delora was very good for Washington State. We both like that on the podcast.
Yeah, I listen. The Ducks last week, they're still working in a new quarterback. Their running game is very good. Their offensive line, very good. But Stanford missed, what, four field goals?
Missed four field goals and had their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Again, and now they're facing a team that was pretty good last week.
Yeah, no, the Ducks looked good. I'm not saying it's just, let's call it what it is. They had a couple of lucky breaks there, and they did look good. Their running game looked very good, and they're playing without their obviously their top lineman who opted out to go to the NFL this year. So, all right, Dan, I think we've given out our picks. We know some games will not be playing today. Anything on the Cal UCLA game tomorrow? Because I know we talked about UCLA's loss. But, like, Cal with all those quarterbacks coming back?
I mean, it's...
Spread's 2.5.
It's crazy, dude.
Where's the game?
I believe it's...
Is it neutral?
Is it Rose Bowl? I believe it's Pasadena. I'll see if
I don't know why, but I feel over right away. Like, I smell over in that one. But, hey, you get a little appetizer tomorrow. Before, oh geez, all the trends lean under. The underdog is 4-0 last four meetings, which would be UCLA, and the under is 5-0 the last five meetings at UCLA, 7-0 the last seven meetings overall.
Yeah. Yep. Tomorrow, 12 p.m. 12 p.m. Eastern. It's a 9 a.m. game for those teams too.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you checking out the show today, of course. And I know some people didn't have a chance to get on today. I try to go to everybody right away. And I appreciate Luke from Prop Swap calling in as well. Stay tuned to our Twitter handles at Dan Lifshads, at Joey Murr. We might be posting some plays out there as well. This has been another edition of the DraftKings Over Under 985 show.
Who you got? Good luck this week, guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.